Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Good afternoon. Welcome into the Steve Jones Show, News Radio 1070 WKOK. You can find us at WKOK.com, SteveJonesShow.com, and if you want to listen to the show anytime, anywhere, you can when you subscribe to our Steve Jones Show podcast on Google Play or iTunes, or if you have an Apple iPhone or iPad, you have the Apple Podcast app on your Apple device, just search Steve Jones Show and subscribe, and after the shows air live here on WKOK, they drop right into your mobile device. You have access to them anytime, anywhere. 3 months of shows always archived at SteveJonesShow.com. Steelers, much-needed win last night, so they are even 1-1-1. And at one point last night, up 30-10, held on to defeat Tampa Bay 30-27. So next up, it'll be the Ravens, Sunday night primetime from Heinz Field on 100.9 The Valley. A lot happening on the show. We have to say big congratulations to Todd Blackledge, of course, the former Penn State quarterback, national championship 1982 team. Just announced earlier today by ESPN, he has signed a contract extension, so he will continue to be the college football analyst on ESPN in the booth. And that means we will be guaranteed to see Todd at least call one of the two college football playoff games. Excited for Todd. So,
well, it's another boring show today.
I know.
And tomorrow, same thing. So I just want to apologize to the audience in advance. Because you feel like when you get Neil Coolong, Todd Blackledge, Paul Keels, Jack Ham on tomorrow, are you throwing your fastball? I mean, really? Or is it just all breaking stuff? Am I just trying to fool the hitters, fool the audience? Is that what we're trying to do here? Just kidding.
Pitching like Wakefield.
No, we're not going that bad. In terms of velocity, Wakefield was a really good major league pitcher. But
he topped off at what, 68?
Oh, I think every once in a while when the knuckleball would go awry, he would throw fastballs. And his fastball's like 81, 82. I'm like, really? I think I threw Babe Ruth League batting practice that speed. Oh, my goodness. The Steelers won, so they're on their way to the Super Bowl. That ought to do it. You're not buying?
No, I didn't say that. That was definitely not in the conversation with Sue and I this morning. We're just, they needed the win badly.
I'll be honest, 0-2-1.
I think it would have been a lot more mutiny on the bounty today, and so, but those penalties.
I had not really watched Monday Night Football. That's an odd dynamic.
I didn't expect it. I thought Booger McFarland would be up in the booth with Tess and Jason Witten. So I guess they want to try to get a different dynamic out of the content that Booger adds to the broadcast.
These people think too much. You know, the sports network of all sports networks, they think too much. I'm not going to get into it.
How about the commercial-free halftime show with the Flo Rida video? I'm like, okay.
Just so I didn't watch it. I don't watch halftime. usually get up, do something. I have no desire.
They were hyping commercial free, so I was just thinking, okay, what are they going to fill this up with? So,
yeah, I'm sure it was dynamic.
They plugged in this customized video from Flo Rida. Like, oh, okay.
Don't really know what that means. So today, Neil Coulong on the Steelers win last night. Todd Blackledge on contract renewal and Penn State, Ohio State, and Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football. It's today's lineup. Tomorrow, Jack Ham's on the show. Thursday's the high school roundtable, where, again, we don't know who will show up.
Actually, we're going to have the roundtable tomorrow. The Phillies have a day game on Thursday. A very, very rare late September day game out at Colorado.
Wow.
So they can get home and then get swept by Atlanta this weekend.
Oh, that's just so negative.
Well,
just so negative. It's absolutely accurate, but negative. I didn't realize. Jeez, I guess I didn't check the schedule. I didn't realize that the...
I had to triple check, too. I was like, wait, is that a typo? It's like, oh, that's true.
The Red Sox-Orioles game postponed due to rain will be rescheduled as part of a day-night doubleheader on Wednesday. Why? The Red Sox have won 106 games. The Orioles, even if they doubled their win total, wouldn't be at 126. Like, holy mackerel. Really? Why? I'm confused.
That makes no sense.
Well,
it would be different if it has some.
It makes sense in that the people who had tickets for tonight's game still have a game to go to tomorrow. Blah, 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 blah. Blah, 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 blah. The Steelers won. I thought offensively they looked good, especially in the first half. Second half, I kind of felt like the second half they were just maintaining. And so,
yeah, defensively, John Bostic really stepped up. Very impressed with him. I did see the Cody Sensabaugh, Artie Burns, in for two series, off two series rotation.
Yeah, but I thought defensively in the second half they got torched.
Oh,
again.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Ryan Fitzmagic, another 400-yard game.
Yeah.
I mean, God, how many times they keep saying in the telecast last night? I heard no less than three times, Jameis Winston, he's going to be back in the building this morning at 5:45. And it's like, yeah, okay, we know that. But Fitzpatrick should remain the starter. He's putting up the yards.
You mean Fitzmagic?
Yes. Yeah. But yeah, he really came down to earth in the first half, that's for sure.
Fitzmagic to you.
Okay.
Come on. You got to get with the broadcast.
Fitzmagic.
I'll get back to you on that.
Okay.
So, look, they won. They needed it. They're off the snide. Now they got Baltimore. And I've talked about how NFL teams, instead of taking the enormity of a 16-game schedule, they break it into quarters. Well, the Steelers can hit that first quarter, and they can be 2-1-1. Or they can hit it and be 1-2-1. So that's Sunday night coming up. I think that, that is interesting. And that's where they are. You mentioned Todd getting his contract extension. We're going to talk to him about that in an hour. He'll be on at 4:06. Paul Keels will be at 4:35 today. Neil on the Steelers next half hour. Jack Ham coming up tomorrow. And then there, of course, is the Steelers. The Phillies, I should say. So they get the game at Colorado on Thursday. Yeah, I didn't realize that. Yeah, that's fine. It's going to be a nice day. Maybe I'll just go play golf.
There you go.
Wow.
Less humid, clouds and sun, near 70.
Yeah.
Doable. Useful.
And the timing's good. Especially in this particular week. I've actually already done three other talk shows today. I've got a fourth one at 5:30. Now, it's not that difficult, all right? They are the same answers over and over and over again. Because they are the same questions over and over and over again. Now, when I was on Paul's show last night, Paul Keels, okay, that was actually, we had a good time. We had a lot of fun with it. Paul's going to ask a different question than, talk show guy in Boise. And that's, so what kind of years McSorley had? Good. What's the whiteout like? Easy to get clothing for.
Well, plus the two of you, you've known each other for so long and you've been on each other's shows umpteen times.
I know.
So, you guys know each other's nuances and what you can do to make it great.
I'm just saying, talk show guy in Boise. And what about? And I was like, oh, no. All right. Same day, different answer. McSorley. He's way off his game right now.
Like us being on their show. It's like, how about that blue field?
I wouldn't even ask about that. The only thing I would ask about the blue field is, do ducks really go to die there? Because that was always the running story about that field, that the ducks thought it was a pond. And they dive down into it and find out it was not a pond.
Found out too late.
Yeah.
That's the first I've ever heard about that. Wow.
Oh, you never heard of that before?
I never heard of that before, no.
Wow.
Wonder what kind of issues they have out in Eastern Washington with the red turf.
None, probably. I'm sorry, a duck can't confuse that. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Okay, great to have you with us on the show today. We're rocking and rolling. Great to have you with us. More music, less Nesman. All right. Next half hour, Neil Coulong. And then bottom of the hour, the story on Bill Cosby being convicted today. 3 to 10 years his sentence. It actually wasn't convicted. It was the sentencing was today. 3 to 10 years will be the sentence for Bill Cosby. At some point, probably during the news, you will hear the name Kevin Steele come up. And yes, he is the former president of the Penn State Alumni Association. So, interesting. So that will be one of the many topics that CBS News will cover at the bottom of the hour. Let's see. The NFL is going to talk about the glut of roughing the quarterback calls. There were 4 actual calls last night. Does that sound right?
Yes, I got and then all in the first half, I believe.
Yeah, and there was one that they threw the flag on Hayward. And again, this was very, very, very poor coverage by ESPN. You can tell by how it played out that Hayward got pushed into him. Right? That's how he got there. He got pushed into him. And, of course, the announcers didn't say a word about that, and they didn't show an angle of it either. You're like, oh, okay. You got 5,000 cameras there. It's your one game. You can't find that shot? He got pushed into him. McCoy hit Roethlisberger in the end zone. And, yeah, he's a little bit late, and you can hear him. They did a great job of having him mic'd up and say, hey, look, Ben, I'm sorry. You know. So it's not like the guys don't know the rule, but, man, this is really becoming... They got to get some sort of handle and feel on this because it's turning fans off. I mean, look, I don't want quarterbacks blasted. I don't think anybody wants a quarterback blasted. But they don't want what looks to be a normal football play to suddenly where you're sitting there as a fan going, oh, God, you got to be kidding me. Really?
I wonder when if we're going to see an NFL owner really step up and
Jerry Jones. Okay. Jerry Jones already has. Okay. Jerry Jones has already ripped them. Jerry Jones has ripped them for this, you know. I mean, he tore into them. He is not happy at all with the number of roughing the passer calls. And the competition committee says they're going to speak on a conference call next week to talk about it. There are some concerns that the officials are going a little bit too far with some of these calls, said one source. There have been 34 roughing the passer calls through 3 weeks. Through the same three games last year, there have been 16. Through three games in 2016, there were 20. Okay, part of the issue is the league this year has made a point of emphasis. Prohibits defenders from landing on the quarterback. Well, where are you supposed to land? You're supposed to hit him and then, like, slide? How, explain to me how you're supposed to do that. I mean, I understand that, but you look at the two plays Clay Matthews made, one on Kirk Cousins and the other on Alex Smith. I mean, he is in the process of wrapping his arms around him as the ball's being let go. Well, you can't pull up at that point. It's physically impossible.
Yeah, and there's some terminology that gets kicked around called scoop and lift. But last I checked, the law of physics remains undefeated. Yeah. It's like, yeah, you can scoop and lift, but I guess their goal, they want both players to land on each other's sides and not the defensive player landing right on top of the quarterback with all of his weight.
Well, the play that was put into the league's weekly teaching tape as an example of how not to sack the quarterback was that Matthews play on Kirk Cousins. But then one of the sources said the competition committee kind of looked at it, and then even they were confused as to why a penalty should have been called on the play. That's not good when that happens. 21 penalties called last night. 4 were for roughing the passer. I'm sorry, that just completely just wrecks the flow of a game. Wrecks it. You heard me, Sean. Wrecks it. Neil Coolong on the actual football they did play last night.
Before you head to the Bloomsburg Fair, stop and get to Sunbury Motors Ford. Sunbury Motors is going to price all new Fords at a level that makes it impossible to say no. You'll be feeling great driving to the fair in a 2018 Ford Escape for only $18,820. Sunbury Motors Ford wants to continue selling 7 Fords a day through the Bloomsburg Fair. Pack up the family in your 2018 Explorer. Explorers start under $30,000 at SMC, and they have 20 to choose from. Every Edge, Focus, Fusion, Fiesta, EcoSport will be discounted for SMC to sell 7 new Fords every day through the end of the fair. Sunbury Motors has 70 new F-150s marked down to as low as $25,969 and just announced 0% for 72 months on F-150s. You'll save thousands over the term of your loan. SMC needs 7 sales every day through the end of the Bloomsburg Fair. We'll see you at Sunbury Motors Ford in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Still to come on today's show, Neil Coolong in just a few moments. Then Todd Blackledge at 4:06. And Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, at 4:35. Tomorrow, our high school roundtable and Jack Ham will be on the show tomorrow. Jack will be on at 4:06 tomorrow. Thursday, we're off because of popular demand. Don't quite know what that meant in the note from management. What did that mean? And then Friday, we'll be back with the King. You're off Thursday by popular demand. What did that mean?
In quotations.
I mean, not only that, bold print in quotations.
Right.
All right, fine. That's how you guys feel about it. Then there was something about saying that they're going to put on something. It wasn't the Phillies. It was something called the Suit Show.
Ooh, really? Must be a pilot. Well, you know, a lot of new shows are cranking up this week. At least that's on TV. So,
yeah. And you could always pick out like an equivalent. Like, what would the Suit Show be? Like, what would be the equivalent of it? And you and I discussed it. We both felt it was the equivalent of watching a plane circle a fogged in airport. All right, so. Thank you very much. I'm back a little bit later. Don't forget to tip your waitress. I'll be here for the 7 o'clock show.
Try the veal.
Really, try the veal. It's really great. Okay, so let's get to this day in sports history, and then we will get to Neil Coulon. All right, this day in sports history, the first Major League doubleheader was played between Worcester and Providence in 1882. 1965, Willie Mays, at the age of 34, became the oldest man to hit 50 home runs in a single season. He'd also been the youngest to do it at the age of 24, 10 years earlier. 1965, Satchel Paige of the Kansas City A's, at the age of 59, pitched 3 shutout innings against the Red Sox. After the game, all the Red Sox players were fired. he's 59. You can't get a hit? Come on. Melissa Lutke, in 1978, a writer for Sports Illustrated, filed a suit in U.S. District Court. The result was that Major League Baseball could not bar female writers from the locker room after a game. Let's see. In 2001, Michael Jordan announced he was going to return to the NBA as a player with the Washington Wizards. He'd become the president of basketball operations for the team in January of 2000. All right, that's this day in sports history. All right, let's get into the Steelers last night. Interesting game, good win, bizarre kind of broadcast, all that and more. Neil, welcome. Great to have you with us on the show.
It's great to be here. Did you guys know that Patrick Mahomes is going to play next week on Monday Night Football?
Hey, that should be great. I picked up on that last night. Yeah.
Something told me I needed to talk about that today. Yeah. I'm not sure why.
I am really glad you brought that up because you know, it's interesting what subliminal advertising can do.
it hits you right over the head. About the 17th time that they had teasers for it, it's like, your ratings aren't that bad, first off. Let's not act as if this is, you know, Fox's newest show that you're going to premiere that night. I mean, people know the Monday Night Football is on, okay? Just getting to the point, I couldn't believe how weird that broadcast was in so many ways. To your exact point, they have no chemistry with each other at all. It's almost like Booger McFarland is not the only one who's not in the booth. It's like these guys are in 3 different cities and they're talking on Skype or something. I mean, there's no fluidity to it at all. And when you walk out of a Monday Night Football game with a dramatic comeback, the star power that was in that game. It was, you know, if you look at it just on its face, you'd think it'd be an exciting game.
Yeah.
Just a really weird broadcast, an odd political reference tying the NFL to one side of the aisle, which I couldn't imagine Jason Witten coming up with something worse to say at that particular moment.
Yeah.
And for the first time since 2001, 4 roughing the passer penalties.
Yeah.
And maybe one of them would have been called last year. I mean, don't worry about Pat Mahomes playing next week, guys. That's not the problem here.
Yeah, that I thought was interesting. I want to get into the actual level of play in the game itself. What really worked for the Steelers last night, and what were they allowed essentially because of Tampa Bay to get away with?
I thought Roethlisberger, they kind of victimized Roethlisberger a little bit right away. They baited him into making that throw on the sideline. I forget who it was that made a nice play on that first interception, but that's a play that Roethlisberger will look at, you know, kind of a chair route by the tight end if the other options aren't there. He'll get them to run it out and try to draw safeties up and then send him down the sideline. He did exactly that. The safety didn't bite on it. He read it the whole way, made a really nice play. From there, I thought it was going to be kind of a rough game for him, but he was lights out pretty much the rest of the way. A large part of that was because Vance McDonald, whether it was him directly shoving the guy to the ground or it was something else, but Chris Conte left the game, and they had three rookies playing in their secondary, and it showed. I mean, it was easy pickings for Roethlisberger in a lot of cases, and he still made some real big plays. I mean, we've seen a Steelers team wilt and lose that kind of game many times, and when they do, it's usually because Roethlisberger, as good as he is throughout the game, wilts a little bit at the end himself. He'll throw that late pick. They won't be able to fall on the fumble that he had in the fourth quarter. Things like that won't go their way, but they weathered the storm. And I think, unfortunately, in many ways, 30-27 was more indicative of where these two teams are than 30-10 was. I thought that the Bucs made a ton of mistakes early. The Steelers didn't get an opportunity to make them pay as much as they probably should have had. I mean, they shot themselves in the foot a couple times. I just had a feeling the whole time it was going to come back and haunt them. You only had 16 points after three turnovers. You had, 23 after four. It didn't really seem like the Steelers were in a position to really kind of put the clamps down. I think they let Tampa Bay get comfortable and get into using the weapons that they have. And they're exceptional. I thought, you know, it's magic or whatever they want to call him. Obviously didn't play well in the first half, but he was great in the second half. He was really hard for them to stop, and he gave the Steelers defense everything they could handle.
Look, winning makes you feel better about a lot of things. Did they solve anything last night?
I think they solved the problem of not having a win in three games. I mean, that's a pretty big problem. I mean, they're clearly at a point that they need to learn to crawl before they can fly. So, in that regard, they went in to a primetime road environment. Those games aren't easy to win. Plain and simple, they're not easy to win. So, you throw style points out the window or whatever cliche you want to use in that situation. They were capable of beating a good team on the road in prime time and get good play out of their quarterback. Their defense made plays on the ball. To be honest with you, I think that is more of what the NFL is becoming, and we're going to see that more as the season progresses. If you get good play from your quarterback and you can get takeaways from your defense, the yards aren't going to matter as much. If the quarterback is able to make big plays down the field and limits turnovers, and your defense can force the other team to turn the ball over, you're going to win just simply out of lack of opportunity for your opponent. It's not about how well they play. We're not seeing these kind of four-quarter dominant games anymore. They're back and forth. They're 30-27. I mean, that's we're going to see a record in scoring this year just simply because it is getting so incredibly hard to stop an offense, but it's not as prolific as people would think that it would be. I don't think Fitzpatrick or even to some extent Roethlisberger were prolific last night, but they were marching up and down the field at will. Their turnovers were really the only things that stopped them.
Let's talk about roughing the passer for a moment. There was one that Pete Morelli picked up last night, and again, this goes back in part to the broadcast. You and I both know, based on the hand that you see, that Hayward was shoved into him. Okay, now the broadcasters never told you that, nor did the replay. They just kept showing the same shot. But there were four last night that were called. There have been a myriad of others called. There was one game where seven were called. Do you know what it is?
I think if we're talking about specifically, the rule itself, I think, is it's going to be very difficult to interpret it just because you're not going to be able to physically say whether or not a guy drives his weight into somebody else. Right. Bud Dupree last night put a hit on Fitzpatrick, and he didn't land his shoulder on his chest the way that Clay Matthews does, for example.
Right.
They both probably exerted the same amount of force onto the quarterback, but Dupree at least appeared to kind of roll off of him. that's really what they're trying to do with the rule overall. On top of that, hitting the quarterback late has been a penalty for a long
absolutely.
Time. I don't need to tell people that.
Absolutely. I mean, the Penn State-Illinois game on Friday night, Penn State rightfully was called for roughing the quarterback because he took two and a half steps to get there. So, I mean, that's an obvious one. But the problem I'm seeing in the NFL is, all right, how's he supposed to stop?
Yeah, it gets to a point where they're asking him to let up, and that's just something that's not going to work. Those guys are going to be out of a job if they don't. You look at the one on Gerald McCoy.
Yes.
McCoy popped him a little bit late. It wasn't a violent hit. He clearly was accelerating toward him before he realized he didn't have the ball. He even apologized to him right. after the hit. And I don't think that is in the spirit of what they should be calling. At the same time, to me, that's one that probably shouldn't have been called. One they have to call, and this is the one that I saw the most reaction to, was when I forget what defender it was, but they basically punched Ben in the head when they were, you know, rushing after
right.
him. It wasn't intentional or anything like that. They've been calling that for years. You plain and simple, you can't hit the quarterback in the head or the neck area. You really can't hit anybody in the head or neck area.
Yeah, true.
It looks dumb. I understand that it's not, you know, Roethlisberger probably embellished that a little bit more than he needed to, but
no.
They've been calling that for a long time. That's not a part of what they're trying to do. The only new variation to a rule that already existed in the NFL was they wanted to emphasize guys, defensive players not landing basically with their shoulder or collarbone squarely driving into the quarterback's chest when he's on the ground. And to me, they've gotten that right. It's just, I think the roughing the passer calls are being amplified because officials are starting to have to look for more things. Therefore, they're going to see them. You know, you kick over the rock, you're going to find worms. So it more of the emphasis of one rule is leading to probably the over-regulation for other rules that have already been in place.
You and I know the way things break down in the NFL because we've talked to enough people. A lot of teams like to break it up into quarters. Can you win each quarter? Okay, well, the first quarter is about to come to a close of the season on Sunday night when they take on Baltimore. If they win it, they're 2-1-1. If they don't, they're 1-2-1. So just in that perspective, what do you see on Sunday night with Baltimore?
I think the real challenge here is they've got a rough division stretch of games. Playing Baltimore at any stadium is not an easy thing, nor is it playing at Cincinnati. And with either of these games, now with a kicker who can't hit an extra point or a field goal,
no.
The Steelers are really, they're going to have to feel a lot of pressure, both offensively and defensively. That game shouldn't have been as close as it was if Chris Boswell does the things that they're used to Chris Boswell doing. I don't know what's going on there, but hopefully it's something that they fix for their sake. They have to feel the pressure because of that. They haven't been a great special teams return unit, coverage unit, but lately they've been able to kick, and they've been decent at punting. Now they're a bad kicking team and they're a bad punting team. You lose a special teams edge like that against a team like Baltimore,
yeah.
You're going to be in real trouble. Baltimore does not have two kicks blocked in a game very often like they did against Denver, and I assure you they're going to be all over that this week. So knowing the Steelers where they'll be at the quarter pole in my mind is less worrisome than what's just directly in front of them, because this can quickly turn into a two-game losing streak because they can't play well in all three phases of the game, and frankly they haven't yeah. been able to do that yet this year. So it's for them, they've got a much bigger problem on their hands than worrying about three games down the line. They really have to win this game in a lot of ways, and to do that they're going to have to find ways to do it that they haven't all year, and
yeah.
that's trouble.
I think at times people forget John Harbaugh's background. He was hired by the Ravens after being the special teams coordinator at Philadelphia. That's what he was.
Yep.
And it shows.
Baltimore is consistently one of the best special teams units in the NFL, consistently.
Neil, always a pleasure. Great to have you with us, my friend.
Definitely. Thanks for having me, guys.
Neil Coulon, USA Today. Next half hour, Todd Blackledge. We'll continue with more on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Fire. You know, I notice like everything that you do, he kind of tries to jump in on. I've noticed that with you, Sean. It's just some people are just tag along.
Along for the ride.
Hell yeah. I mean, you know, It's just some people are like that. All right. Let's see. The Orioles and Red Sox playing a day-night doubleheader tomorrow. They're rained out today. So for Dick and Milton, okay, the Orioles will not lose today. It's me being positive. Boy, were you ever negative when it came to Phillies, man. Wow. You do know that we carry the games, right?
That is correct.
I'm glad you know about it.
Sure. Just been frustrating. They're now at 500 for the first time since, what, April 10th? Something like that. In early August, they were 15 over 500. So it's just been a rough stretch.
No, it's been a rough stretch. No doubt about that. It has been rough. I remember years ago. It was the year Terry Francona got fired. So what was that, 2011 maybe? 2012? 2011. I mean, the Red Sox went into September rolling, and then they went 6-20. And they lost on the last day of the season to the Orioles, by the way. And Tampa Bay, on a home run by Evan Longoria into the corner, beat, I think, the Yankees. It's the only time I was ever rooting for the Yankees in my life. And the Red Sox on the outside looking in. Terry Francona's fired, and they're done. So we've all been there. And there are going to be old-time Philly fans who are going to think about Gene Mock and the 64 Phillies. Now, the old-time Philly fans would think about that. Obviously, the new group would be like, oh, really? I'd have to look that up. Can you Google it? I think you can. Next half hour, Todd Blackledge. Todd has signed a contract extension to stay at ESPN and with ABC. Now, the term's obviously not revealed, but he has signed the extension, so he's going to be there for a while. And we'll talk to him about that and more coming up in the next half hour. And then Paul Keels, the play-by-play voice of Ohio State football, is going to join us in the final half hour. Tomorrow, our high school roundtable, because the Phillies are playing Colorado on Thursday. We won't have a show that day, so we'll move the high school roundtable up to tomorrow, and we'll follow that at 4:06 with Jack Ham tomorrow. Ever tell you the Jack Ham Ireland story?
I think I know which one you're talking about. You're at a rally?
No.
Okay.
Not the rally.
Different one.
It's not the rally.
Not the rally story? Okay, different one then.
No. We are at the rally story. The two of us at the rally story. Yeah. We are at practice. It's the last practice before they're going to play Central Florida, so it's the walkthrough. And they let some people in. It was at the College of Dublin. So we go over there, and there's these six guys sitting in the stands, and they're students from the College of Dublin. And so I walked over and said, so where are you guys from? And four of them were from Ireland and two were from Scotland. I said, do you guys follow American football? He says, oh, yeah, we do. I said, well, who's your favorite team? Oh, we love the Pittsburgh Steelers. Love the Steelers. And, you know, because remember, Art Rooney at this time is Dan Rooney's the ambassador to Ireland, the U.S. ambassador to Ireland. So I said, who's your favorite Steeler of all time? And one of them says, oh, no doubt, Jock Ham. I go, Jock Ham? I said, would you like to meet Jock Ham? Oh, I'd love to meet Jock Ham. I said, well, he's standing right there. These six guys are like, this is the greatest thing going. But it's the Jock Ham. Every once in a while, hey, Jock Ham, what's going on? Now, the kid that said that's from Scotland. All right. All right. Next half hour, Todd Blackledge. Another good day at the office for us here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.